Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Talking about this Department of War. So we won the First World War, we won the Second World War, we won everything before that and in between, and then we decided to go woke and we changed the name to Department of Defense. So we're going Department of War.
And the idea itself is funny. I just love the particular way he says it.
We're going Department of War.
We're going Department of War. I've got no time for these prepositions. I don't need no stinking with. We're going Department of War. I'll say what I said at the beginning with this one. It was the original name of the military. It's a reversion of sorts. The notion that we did not win in Vietnam because we were named some woke that woke didn't exist back then. When we changed it from Department of War to, what was it briefly? It was the military industrial complex. I don't know. It was some weird name for a very, very brief period of time. And then, you know, we changed it like a year later to the Department of Defense. And his allegation is that now all of a sudden, the National Military Establishment, we called it the NME. That's kind of, no wonder we changed it. We are the enemy. Seriously. In 1947, it split up, and then, you know, from just being one thing, because it was really, you know, you had the Department of War, and it split into the Department of the Army and the Department of the Air Force, and then you have, for a couple of years, you have the National Military Establishment, and then in 1949, I still can't believe we used an acronym that made us the enemy. I never thought about it before, sorry. Anyway, so now he wants to go back to Department of War. I don't really have an objection, particularly. The idea that this is responsible for anything is absurd. But it's expensive, you know. We don't really know. Billion? 2 billion? You know, it's a lot. So, okay, fine. He does it. Now Pete Hegseth can be the Secretary of War. Second name. Right? It's, in order to officially rename the department, he has to have a congressional approval. So this is more of like a nickname. The Department of War is the nickname. The Secretary of War is the nickname. And then he posts that Truth Social thing about Chipocalypse. Chipocalypse Now, with the famous picture from the beach, right? Where, you know, the colonel is there. Not colonel. Oh, rank. All of a sudden, Kilgore, I think, is his name. Anyway, he's sitting there and, you know, I love the smell of napalm in the morning is kind of the famous quote. But, you know, he says, well, you know, you'll see. I love the smell of deportations in the morning, President Trump says. Chicago's funny. Chicago about to find out why it's called the Department of War with three helicopters. Chipocalypse Now. What in the hell is that supposed to mean? I mean, and then Pritzker, you know, Pritzker doesn't help much because he says the President of the United States is threatening to go to war with an American city. This is not a joke. This is not normal. Donald Trump isn't a strong man. He's a scared man. Illinois wouldn't be intimidated by a wannabe dictator. Well, you know, much though J.B. Pritzker isn't anybody I admire in pretty much any way, oh, man, he's not wrong. The federal government should never be at war with a city, shouldn't be menacing war with a city, shouldn't be joking about going to war with a city. It's not the way the United States military is supposed to act towards a city. You know, you can always test whether something is a good idea or a bad idea by reversing the shoes, right? If a Democrat said that they wanted to go to war with some red city and said, you know, you're about to find out why it's called the Department of War, would you think that was okay? No, you'd be horrified by that. And, you know, the funny thing about Trump is he's so distorted the notions of what's normal, expectable, what's acceptable, that you don't even know when to be horrified by anything anymore. I mean, seriously, because you don't know, is he being literal? Is he just making a joke? Are these people with Trump derangement syndrome overreacting? He's so stretched the bounds of what's normal, at least for him, that you really don't know how to react. Well, that's just Trump being Trump. Well, you know, at a certain point, that's just Trump being insane. I mean, that's, you know, but where's that line? We don't know. Nobody knows. So, and if he's just posting memes on social media, is that the same as actually sending helicopters in with the Ride of the Valkyries playing in the background as they go and surf the beach on the Lakeshore Drive? I mean, you know, it's like you kind of have to wait for the action. But remember, speech is supposed to represent ideals. And this is not an ideal that an American president should be representing. I mean, if you acted on, if you enacted what the tweet represents, or not tweet, but what the post, the truth, I gotta hate this. The whole language around Truth Social is so nutty. You retruth things. it's beyond laughable. Okay, but if he actually landed helicopters on, you know, North Beach, right? Or, and then, like, all of a sudden you had troops deployed to Chicago and it was the Department of War acting like the Department of War as opposed to the Department of walking around unarmed, which is how it's been with the National Guard, mostly walking around unarmed, just being a presence. Well, you know, that'd be unconstitutional. I mean, you'd impeach him. You'd impeach him, right? Right. You would impeach him. So should presidents be saying things, even in jest, that if enacted in real life would be impeachable offenses? I mean, that's not my picture of the presidency. Is that your picture of the presidency? So we're in weird territory. But as I've said many times about Trump, he drives me crazy. I still voted for him. I still, as reluctantly as I can, support him. I still think that Pritzker, if he were smart, would say, the governor of Illinois, if he were smart, would say, bring the National Guard here and do what you did for D.C. like you did here. I mean, we'll take it. We'll take the benefit. Of course, Pritzker won't do that, hasn't done that, can't do that. Instead, we got marches protesting the president. I don't know. We're just in Looneyville right now. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? Oh, my God, the Karen at the Philadelphia game. Now, John, you've been on vacation for a week. Welcome right back, by the way.
Thank you.
You were on a boat in
the I was on a boat that day.
Yeah. Are you familiar with this story at all?
No, I actually just it popped all up right on the TV, and I didn't. I was like, "What's going on?"
So, if you don't know, the most important things that happened over the weekend is Trump threatened to napalm Chicago. Slight exaggeration. with a meme. The Surgeon General of Florida, Joe Latipo, embarrassed himself on national TV yesterday with Jake Tapper. More about that later. In trying to explain why Florida is getting rid of vaccine requirements for school children, which we actually aren't, but that's also a nuance for later. And the third most important story of the world is that a super Karen, I don't know how else to do it, mega Karen, in Philadelphia. So you've got in the outfield Harrison Bader, who I thought it was funny. They described him as a slugger. Harrison Bader's not a slugger. He does hit home runs. Oh. He is a fast man.
Yes.
I watched Harrison Bader go from second to home on a pop-up one time. Like, he's ridiculously fast, and he was always fun to watch for the Cardinals, but we traded him, and he's played for a couple teams. Anyway, but he hit a home run. He does hit, okay, you know, some home runs. So he hits a home run. And what's the only rule for getting a home run ball in the stands?
You got to catch it.
Well, if you don't catch it, it's anybody's ball.
That's right.
Whoever get their hands on it.
Yep.
Now, if you push somebody down, then that's not allowed. But if you're just like in the scrum, you know, whoever gets the ball gets the ball. Well, his dad gets the ball, and he walks away from, and he's really doesn't think anything weird has happened, because you can tell by the way he walks away from the couple of people that were scrambling for it, that he's like, yeah, hey, look, I got the ball, woo-hoo, this is all over. Oh, little does he know.
Oh, no.
Now, it's also true that, you know, you can go anywhere you want in the stands. It's not like you can only catch a fly ball that's next to your seat. And in this case, you had, 10 open seats between him and where the ball actually hit. And he thought, I'm going to go get a ball, because that's what you do. Well, this woman, let's call her a woman. This woman gets very annoyed by the fact that he got the ball that she should have caught, that she did not catch, that she should have picked up off the ground, that she did not pick up off the ground.
Okay.
And so she goes and confronts him, and he's completely shocked by the fact that she's come over to him. He doesn't think she's coming at all. And you can see the most interesting part to me of this whole video is that he is almost like, I don't know how to describe it. He's almost traumatized looking by the fact that she's talking to him. He puts his hands up, not so much in self-defense, but almost like in panic, like shaking his fist, but not aggressively, almost like, I don't know what to do. Don't touch me. It's kind of it was an odd reaction. And then she starts scolding him about how you took our ball, and he given the ball to his son.
Okay.
He gave the ball to his son.
Right.
Which, by the way, even if he hadn't, it's still not her ball.
Correct.
But once the ball is in a kid's glove, it's out of play.
It is out of play.
It's 100% out of play. So she says, that's our ball. You took our ball. And he says, no, what are you talking about? And so she keeps yelling at him, and eventually he's like, fine, I don't want to get into a fight with some crazy lady at the ball game. It's just a baseball. You know, we can go buy him for $8. It's not that big of a deal. And so he reaches into his son's mitt and grabs the ball out and gives it to her.
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm amazed you haven't seen this. This was the only thing on social media on Saturday. And then she goes back to her seat, triumphant.
Wow.
See? This is why I run the PTA.
This is why I'm in charge of the HOA.
That's right. This is why I run the HOA in my side life for fun. I work at TSA. It's just a parking lot. She gives out parking tickets. I mean, you know, like
exactly.
All the things you can imagine. And then everything goes sideways from there. First of all, the Phillies give the kid this bag of swag because they see what's happening. The commentators actually comment, oh, my God, what happened? They give him a bunch of stuff. Then he gets to go into the tunnel, in the walkway, and gets to meet Harrison Bader. So the kid gets, like, the best makeup compensation, you know, for not getting this one home run ball. Meanwhile, Philadelphia Karen, the rumor was, first of all, and she goes internet infamous, and it's all the memes. It's baseball cards showing her with various things. It's everybody says how wicked and horrible and stupid and selfish and all the things they say about her. There was a rumor that she had lost her job as a school administrator or something because the kids were so upset. That turned out to be false. I don't know at this point. Maybe they've identified her. It was weird because they left. People were booing her so bad that she and her guy friend left.
They left
apparently.
The game?
Yeah. I will tell you, I do feel sorry for him.
Because
life in that house is probably not a lot of fun.
Nope.
But now she is massively internet infamous. The kid got the best possible compensation. And I'll tell you my one thought. I actually have a couple thoughts. But one thought about all this is, especially when I thought she lost her job, I actually felt a little sorry for her. Just because in justice, there's always a concept of proportionality. You know, the thing you do wrong doesn't mean we can do anything to you. You know, if you throw bubble gum on the sidewalk, we don't cut off your fingers. I mean, maybe we should, but we don't, okay?
I mean, that's debatable.
You know, you get a parking ticket, you know, we don't put out your eyes, okay? And the internet is not great at proportional response.
No.
And so the level of fury, the level of ridicule, the level of, I mean, you know, she's a total pariah. I mean, we kicked her off the digital island. It was a lynching in everything but the physical sense. And, I mean, she's probably been getting I don't know if they've identified her at this point. I think I saw something that I thought they had, but whatever. You know, her life is ruined. Which, yeah, She did a really horrid, stupid, mean, selfish, privileged. All there's no defending the action. Okay. But again, as a believer in proportional response, I look to the Bible, and the Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You say, well, that seems like it's pretty ferocious. No, that was meant to limit punishment. You can only do this. Because the idea was, you know, they kill one of ours, we kill 10 of theirs. That's the Chicago way. No, that's not the Chicago way. But the internet way is worse.
Yes. You know?
So I cannot defend that. I'm not at all defending her, but I am sort of advocating for a little bit of restraint. It's a little weird for people to so enjoy hating somebody. You know, that's not healthy. And for everybody to rah-rah, encourage, celebrate other people collectively hating somebody is just not a great look for us as a culture. Now, is there a, I know there's a desire to retaliate. I know there's a desire to see justice. There's a frustration with privileged people getting their way and doing things like this, and you want to punish. I understand all of that. But another biblical principle, by the way, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Exactly.
Which is, you don't have to dispense internet vigilante retaliation for every time somebody does something bad. But we do have this collective, well, this is accountability. No, this is way past accountability. I mean, she didn't even do a crime. Anyway, we'll talk about it later. 437-1620. Welcome back, John.
Thank you. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray.
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All righty then.
So show me family, all the blood that I will bleed.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Hey, just FYI, if you're texting in, for whatever reason, our text app is not working this morning. So if you're texting me, I'm sorry. The only reason I'm not reading your text or responding is because I can't. Or I would. You know I would. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. South Korea's foreign minister will be in the U.S. today to help bring home some 300 Korean workers that were arrested last week working illegally.
I thought it was more than 400. Did some of them get validated or something?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But that's the number I have is 300. 300 Korean, maybe the other 100 were other nationalities.
Maybe so. Yeah, 475 workers were arrested in total. So
okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So South Korea's foreign minister will be here to help bring home the Korean workers that were arrested. The plan is to fly them home on chartered flights. House lawmakers say they've got enough votes now to force the release of Justice Department files on Jeffrey Epstein. Republican Thomas Massie and Democrat Ro Khanna told ABC's This Week they're confident their petition will bring that measure to a vote. And an Italian teenager who was known as God's influencer is the first millennial saint Thousands of young people filled St. Peter's Square at the Vatican this morning to witness a ceremony presided over by Pope Leo XIV and held up pictures of Carlo Acutis, who died in 2006 of leukemia at the age of 15.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, the texting just fixed itself, so woohoo, we have it for at least now. Don't take it, we have it for a minute. Oh, man. Oh, the Black Lives Matter, very dingy, poorly maintained. You know, it didn't look so sparkly anymore. A mural on A Street is gone. It was gone on Friday. FDOT removed it. Well, they didn't remove it. I think they painted over it. So, interesting note. They painted over it, and that means that over time, the paint over it will fade. So it will gradually reveal itself from underneath the paint. So this will have to be painted again over. Meanwhile, and I say this is perhaps the most ironic thing of all, is that the blackest street in Pensacola is the site of the A Street mural.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. At least five people are dead and at least a dozen others injured in a shooting attack in Israel this morning.
Police say two attackers opened fire on a bus and a bus stop at a major intersection. Officers quickly killed those attackers.
That's Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. President Trump confirming European leaders are expected in the U.S. this week after Russia launched the largest attack on Ukraine since the beginning of the war.
More than 800 drones and around a dozen missiles were launched into Ukrainian cities, including the capital of Kyiv. At least four people were killed and around two dozen injured.
And that's Fox's Trey Yangs, the president weighing a second phase of sanctions. And Ariana Grande, Lady Gaga set the stage at the MTV Video Music Awards. Grande won Video of the Year. Gaga won Artist of the Year. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. It is 68 degrees here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. But first, our local headlines today. Escambia County deputies searching for a driver that crashed into a home on Marseille Drive over the weekend. Now, this happened on Saturday. Deputies say they'd attempted a traffic stop on the vehicle on Michigan Avenue, but the driver fled. Deputies slowed down, followed without emergency lights, and a deputy saw that vehicle hit a curb and then smash into a home on the 4500 block of Marseille. The driver fled the scene on foot. The vehicle reportedly broke through a brick wall in the front of the house. Drone and canine units assisted in that search. Now, three firefighters were hurt battling a fire at a mobile home on Saturday. Happened on Bob Tolbert Road in Holly. The Holly Navarre Fire District responded to the fire, which had destroyed one mobile home and then spread to a second. Firefighters reportedly launched an aggressive attack on the second home, were able to save it from further damage. Two firefighters had to be treated for heat injuries. A third suffered a back injury. The cause of that fire is still under investigation. A cantonment man facing felony charges after allegedly shooting his gun at a gas station last week, 30-year-old Anthony Purifoy Jr., is charged with battery, robbery, and weapons offenses. Now, according to an arrest report, this incident began as an argument between Purifoy and his ex-girlfriend at the Valero gas station on South Highway 29, August 30th. The woman said that Purifoy snatched money from her and the glasses off of her face, then fired his gun into the air as she got into the vehicle with her family. Deputies reportedly found him hiding in the woods nearby. He was arrested and he's since been released on $40,000 bond. Well, a trial for the man accused of attempting to assassinate President Trump starts today in Palm Beach County. A jury selection in Ryan Ruth's trial at the federal courthouse in Fort Pierce gets underway. Earlier this summer, a judge ruled that Ruth can defend himself, but they did advise him not to. Ruth is accused of staking out Trump for several hours with a rifle near his golf course in September of 2024. He's pleaded not guilty on charges of attempting to assassinate a major presidential candidate. It's 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful day today with just a small 10% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Tuesday, 30% chance of rain, high near 87. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Wednesday, 10% chance of rain, high near 88. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
67 degrees right now in Pensacola and Milton. 69 in Gulf Breeze. Your next news at 6 a.m. Breaking news. Anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:37 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. First, a correction. I think I said the Phillies were the ones that gave the swag bag. It was in Miami at the game. Right? No, it was in Philadelphia. Wait, where was the game at? The Marlins. Anyway, the Marlins gave the swag bag, and then the Phillies had to meet Harrison Bader. So, but no, fair. That's accurate. I appreciate that. Somebody says, Andrew, what they should have done is he should have just thrown the ball back on the field like they do at Wrigley.
Oh
my God, the meltdown. The meltdown she would have had at that point. But also, he would have been ejected.
Yeah, throwing things on the field.
Yeah, throw things on the field. That's really not cool either. 437-1620. What else? Lots of stuff going on. So CBS edited Kristi Noem's interview, and the subject of the interview was Abrego Garcia, right? Kilmer Abrego Garcia. And they say the reason they edited it is because she said things about him that they believe to be false or unsubstantiated. And which, as a sort of defending themselves against libel suit, right? But also the airing of inaccurate information is what they will say. And what she says is, no, you air what I say. I am an elected, or I'm, in this case, appointed, but formally elected. I'm an official of the United States government. You don't get to censor me, even if what I say is false. This goes back to how news organizations were trying to handle live speeches by Trump, or even some tape things, is you know, do we fact check the president in real time? I mean, that's a busy job. But
Just being honest.
Even if you love the president, you'd have to admit he's not a journalist. I mean, come on, we can't be reasonable. He's not a reliable source of information a lot of the time, right? I mean, whatever you think about him otherwise, that's uncontroversial, okay? And I don't even, I mean, it's a criticism, I guess, but I'm just saying, you know, you have to agree with that. You know, the standard that's being held up for like MSNBC and CNN for, you know, accuracy in news reporting, if you held that standard against Trump, he would fail at 10 times worse, right? I mean, again, I'm not trying to make a big controversy. I'm just saying this is obvious. Okay, so back to the issue of how they dealt with him was, you know, difficult. Because if he's saying things that are untrue or that they believe are untrue or that are somewhere in between but unsubstantiated, what do you do with that? Well, what they did with her is they just edited it out. And she's like, what? And remember, we have the previous issue where, you know, 60 Minutes had the editing of the interview with Kamala Harris to make her look less like an idiot, because she really looked like an idiot when the real interview, you know, was revealed. And then, because we saw, and the only reason we knew that is because somebody put out a promo clip that had the real answer, the word salad answer. Well, so there's this kind of ongoing question of media ethics and what you do with these taped interviews and when and if ever you can adjust them. And so now what CBS has basically said is we will only air intact interviews or live. Which, you know, I don't, that's really, it's not quite all I do. It's not quite true. I tend to prefer live interviews, but a lot of times if I go to some event or if I'm talking with, like, we went on them cool, you know, we're talking with the captain and the, you know, I mean, there's a lot of times we don't do it live on the air. But I will tell you, and I mean, you know this about me, I will never, ever edit for content, good or bad. I'll never try to make somebody look better than they look, and I'll never try to make somebody look worse than they look when I'm editing the clips. Because I think the raw material is the raw material. The only, and I'll tell you this just so you know for listening to this show, the only thing that I will ever do, and there are two things I will do when I'm editing audio, because I do not always play you just playing the raw, but I do a lot more of the raw editing than, you know, like I play you the raw interview or the raw clips more than most any other news organization will do. Because I play longer clips and, you know, TV gives you 15 seconds at most, right? So there's a lot of splicing together of bits and pieces. You don't really see me do that. The two ways that I might edit audio. One is I might take out ums and ahs and silences. And I'm very cautious even about that because I don't want to edit somebody's presentation. Because it might make them look better than they are. And I don't. It's not my job to make somebody look better than they are. Some people are insufferably bad at presenting their ideas. And if I force you to listen to their slow presentation, it makes the radio worse. Obama is a good example of this. I would routinely remove pauses and ums and ahs from Obama because, you know, I save 60% of the time. I mean, it was like a habit. When I used to edit audio for Obama, it was all the time. Anyway, so that's one thing. The other one is there are times when a person meanders and rambles, and the meander and the ramble is not relevant to their answer. And so I will take out the middle part between, say, the question and the first part of their answer and then the real substance of it and take out the stuff in between that's boring and useless and doesn't do anything. And I'm aware that that's an edit too, and that makes me feel a little uncomfortable. But again, what I always have to say about that is I feel like I'm presenting you a more accurate representation of their idea and ultimately that they wouldn't disagree with. You know, and if somebody ever said, well, you took out the, you know, minute and a half where I didn't talk about the actual subject, I'd be like, okay, well, I mean, I was trying to make you more clear than you were on your own, but that's a distortion. I mean, that is a distortion. But ultimately, I think it's the ideas that we're dealing with, not necessarily always the presentation by somebody that you have to honor. But again, so I'm just telling you, that's my approach. Well, I mean, TV doesn't do that. TV edits all the time. All the time. Right? And uncharitably a lot of times. Very uncharitably a lot of times. And, you know, the fact that somebody said a thing, it does not mean that when you played the clip, you represented them accurately. In fact, the easiest thing, Johnny, back me up on this, but the easiest thing in the world is to distort somebody by airing what they said without the appropriate context for it, right?
Right, exactly.
And that happens all the time on television. And choppy edits, poor edits, edits that are obvious, you know, just editing for time. I mean, if you do a 20-minute interview and you've only got 12 minutes in your TV slot, you're going to edit out 8 minutes worth of stuff. Is that inaccurate? Well, I mean, they're kind of presenting it like it's the interview and it wasn't really the interview. You know, so anyway. But CBS now says, no, we are not going to do that anymore. We are only going to do live the tape, as in we're going to replay the whole thing in all of its ugly glory, or we are going to do live, which means that you're going to get the whole thing. Which is, honestly, it's probably better. We have such a low level of public confidence in the reliability of news media today that it's probably necessary to just air intact interviews and not do any editing. It's one of the reasons why I've always been troubled by the editing that gets done for the Sunday morning interviews, particularly because live interviews, you can't complain about live interviews. And if somebody says something that's a problematic, I mean, that's really on them, not on you, because in real time, you can't really control that. So I prefer to do live interviews. And then, I mean, I replay the interview from like Monday on Tuesday morning, but that's different. That's the same thing intact. It's just not edited. So I think they're probably right to do this. I think it's probably a practice that more news stations ought to do. And it's better if we just have full intact live interviews. 5:45 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know the military program that does remedial education and also physical fitness training for people who do not really meet the qualifications to enter the Army or the Navy? Interesting article that now 1/4 of people admitted into the Army came from that program. Now, the first blush reaction to that is, well, that's bad for the military. That's, you're letting people in who are really substandard. Well, they were substandard, but the whole point of the pre-boot camp was to make them standard, was to get them physically in shape or intellectually, education-wise, in shape with test scores or, you know, physical abilities. Those are the two kind of dimensions of it. And the way I think of it is, if you're in an environment where it's hard to get your numbers, and we are in an environment where it's hard to get your numbers, you got to do something. And as long as you don't change the standards, but instead you're essentially training people up to the standards, that doesn't bother me. I mean, I think you'd have to admit that in some sense, the person who comes to the Army prepared to meet the qualifications and somebody else who comes to the Army unprepared to meet the qualifications, well, Canada A is a better candidate. Oh, okay. But we don't have the luxury of picking just the A's. We're trying to get, and really the A's, the B's, and the C's, you know, are all passing, right? And this is an F. But we're trying to get the F up to a D, you know? A C minus maybe. And once they're a D or a C minus, well, we can train them. And if it's a quarter of eventually, that's helping people, rescuing people, improving people. And since I think the military is, generally speaking, a very positive thing for most people, both in terms of personal development, physical development, acquiring skills, job experience, learning how to deal with authority. I mean, just across the board, it's a benefit for people. It's good. I mean, it doesn't bother me particularly. 4-3-7-16-20. This is something. God, I did two really bad things last week. Number one is I completely failed to mention VE Day, the 80th anniversary of victory VJ Day, excuse me. VJ Day, victory in Japan, the end of the war, essentially. I don't know why. It was on my list every day. I kept reminding myself, hey, talk about this, and then I just didn't. So I'm sorry. It's just an oversight by me. There's nobody to blame except me. The other one is, you know, the McCool, this amphibious landing dock that we got a chance to ride on before she got commissioned. One of her sister ships caught on fire. And for those of you who have been in the Navy, I'm speaking only by virtue of having talked to people who have served. You know, ship fires are a really, really big problem, really serious problem. And the kind of thing that take a long time to put out, and they can, I mean, people die. I mean, it can be very, very, very bad. Well, in this case, you know, this fire was a 12-hour fight. It was the USS New Orleans. It was off the coast of Okinawa. But just to kind of put in perspective how fire, I mean, we saw the fire that was on the ship that was in port in San Diego a couple years ago that destroyed the ship, the Bonham Richard, I think, that was, am I remembering this right? It wasn't the McCool was going to replace it. It was the other one that came in that we didn't, the Tripoli? I don't know. We had another ship that was going to come in and commission here and then it didn't. And we sent it. And that had to go out to replace the Bonham Richard. Anyway, the amphibious landing dock, one of the newest kinds of ships in the Navy, can still have a fire. And fires are very, very, very serious on board the ship. And so they did put it out. It did take quite a long time. But they managed to get the fire extinguished, which is good. Began at 4 o'clock. It was like 2 weeks ago Wednesday, maybe 3 weeks ago. It was a long time ago. San Antonio class amphibious transport dock. Moored at the naval facility. Investigation is still underway. We don't really know what happened. I don't think anyone was injured in the fire. I just wanted to make sure that that was the case. No, excuse me. Two were taken to the vessel's medical clinic for treatment of minor injuries. And the crew did manage to, you know, get the fire extinguished. So good news, but also, you know, the kind of thing that goes on in the Navy, firefighting, big deal. 550. I more thought the story was worth mentioning because it was the same kind of ship that they're both San Antonio class as the one that we commissioned here. And so I at least have a little bit more identification with this class of ships and anything that happens to them just because of, you know, having the experience I had. 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Serenity now! Serenity now!
I do have a bit of weather news for you, just because I thought it was wild. John, I know you've been sequestered on the ship and have not been watching any of this stuff, but right. As of even, I think, Friday, we had this Invest 91L that was coming off the coast of Africa, and over the years, I've gotten in the habit of looking at the cone, and you can, once you get familiar with it, you can pretty much tell whether any given cone is going to be a danger to us or not. But you can tell most of all the ones that are not. Things that are going to bend down or things that are going to bend up. Mostly bend up and go off the East Coast. This was one that was like, ew, I'd love to see that. And it was a red one, you know, so it's going to form. And then I went to do my show prep last, and but it'd be like a week out, week to 10 days out. And I went to do my show prep last night, and I'm like, what happened to it?
Was that just a blip?
It's gone. And yeah, I guess it just didn't happen. And we're pretending like it never was. So, okay, fine.
All right,
you know,
fine.
I mean,
hey, I'll take it.
Not going to complain when there's no tropical systems expected to form in the next 7 days. That's fine. You know? Mm-hmm. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. House lawmakers say they've got enough votes to force the release of Justice Department files on Jeffrey Epstein. Republican Thomas Massie and Democrat Ro Khanna told ABC's This Week that they're confident their petition will bring that measure to a vote, despite potential hurdles in the Senate or Justice Department redactions.
You mean the Democrat hoax? Is
yes. Gonna
be... where the Department of Justice did its job, but there's nothing else to do. We've released thousands of documents. What's the problem? President Trump's take on this has been, well, I wouldn't say it's a hot take. I'd say it's a hot mess take. So, and a reversal, and it's not great. So, although he was apparently a secret informant for the FBI. Did you see this part?
A secret informant for the FBI?
Oh, you can't make this up. This is Speaker Mike Johnson asked about the Epstein files. You ready for this? This is one of those, what did he say?
He's not saying that what Epstein did is a hoax. It's a terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this stuff down. The president knows and has great sympathy for the women who have suffered these unspeakable harms. It's detestable to him. He and I have spoken about this as recently as 24 hours ago.
He was what now? What's the line from Fish Called Wanda? What was the middle one again?
Terrible, unspeakable evil. He believes that himself. When he first heard the rumor, he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. He was an FBI informant to try to take this stuff down.
Well, see, that's why he doesn't want any of this coming. He's
because his secret code name file will come out and his FBI informant status will be revealed. Yeah.
Wow. It all makes sense now. It's all falling into place.
By the way, he doesn't think the thing was a hoax. No, he's explicitly called it a hoax many times since. That it's a Democrat. They knew everything before. If there was anything to be known, it would have been put out. You know, if it was harmful for me, you know, it would have been put out. Well, okay, but also if it was exonerating to you, I think you would put it out. So, balance the motives here. As one person said, if the Epstein files completely exonerated Trump, it'd be on a mug and he'd be selling it to everybody in MAGA. You can't. It's not. There's other people clearly are involved. And anyway, go ahead, David. I interrupted you heavily. I apologize.
That is A-okay. with the anniversary of the September 11th attacks approaching this week, there's some new reporting out that shows nearly 50,000 people now have been diagnosed with 9/11-related cancers. Many of them are first responders, or were first responders. That's according to the World Trade Center Health Program. That number has now surged more than 140% over the last 5 years. And South Korea's foreign minister will be in the U.S. today helping bring home about 300 Korean workers who were arrested last week working at the Hyundai plant illegally. They're going to be flying them out of the country on chartered flights.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Did you watch any of the U.S. Open yesterday? Are you a tennis fan at all? I usually watch the finals. Although in this case, I wish I would have watched the semifinals because apparently Carlos
Alcaraz.
Football
was on yesterday. What's wrong?
Oh, okay, you're fair. That's right. All right. Did your team win?
Oh, yeah. So well, no, wait a second. No, they didn't. I thought you meant a miss.
What's the story? Florida paid. Who did they pay to come play them? USF? They paid somebody to come play them and then they got beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great, but that happens.
It does.
Anyway. Carlos Alcaraz defeated Jannik Sinner in four sets. It was a weird match. It was really a blowout, even though he lost the second set. But, you know, I watched a lot of that on Fast Forward. I watched tennis on Fast Forward.
Dum, 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 dum,
yeah,
dum,
oh, yeah. I don't have 4 hours to sit here and watch them play tennis.
Dum, 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 dum,
but I like your sound effects.
How does your head go by so quick?
No, because if you know how tennis works, like by the scoring, you can watch who's serving on fast forward. You see, okay, 15 love, 30 love, 30 15, 40 love. Okay, that's a boring game. He wins the game. And then when they get to like a break point, you can stop and watch the deuce and then get bored and keep going. But, you know, I don't know, you can see the drama. I like the drama moments.
I watch. Throwing the rackets and everything?
Yeah, not that kind of drama. I like the tension in the sport moments.
That is tension.
Just like in baseball. You know, you can watch a baseball game and fast forward. You know, nobody's on, nobody's on, nobody's on. Oh, two runners on. Let's see what happens. Nothing happened. Okay, nobody's on. You know, like, you know.
ADD version.
You can watch things a lot faster if you have a good fast forward thumb.